Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And we're going to get into all things college basketball a little bit later here on Chance to Dance, who from the Commonwealth has a chance to make it into this year's NCAA tournament. I've got eyes on the CAA championship that is being played in Washington, D.C., and, of course, all of the conference tournaments going on this weekend and next weekend I just think are so much fun because everybody gets a fair chance. Everybody gets a bite at the apple. It's not like this NCAA tournament where now if you're not in the P4, good luck. You can go 31-0 and people will still consider you to be a bubble team. That's Miami of Ohio, the Redhawks this season. But joining us right now to talk a little Washington Wizards basketball. I told you guys earlier today was the most excited I've been for a debut for a Washington Wizards player in a long time. On the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, it's our buddy Chase Hughes. What's up, Chase?
Not much, man. Good to be on with you. I'm getting ready to go see the Harlem Globetrotters today with my daughter.
Ah, I love that, man. I know you're probably going to go out to see College of Charleston at some point, right?
You know, I'm going to Maryland, Illinois tomorrow to see Keaton Wogler. He's like a projected top 10 pick, so I won't be seeing Charleston tomorrow. I got to see what the schedule looks like moving forward. Hopefully they win. But yeah, that's a good call. I'm glad you remembered that. That's cool.
Yep, absolutely. And it's a cool tournament that's being played right there in the nation's capital. So Trae Young makes his debut. And we had a nutmeg pass and a couple of wild, nifty layups there from him. I loved what I saw in a limited sample size. What is the plan for him moving forward now?
Yeah, that was certainly a fun debut. Yeah, there was some great passes, great energy in the crowd. And it was only 19 minutes because they have him on a minutes restriction right now of 17 to 20 minutes. And he actually left the game after, I think he tweaked his knee, he fell on the ground, but he still came back and they got him within that range. So, yeah, didn't play him in the fourth quarter. He played about half of the first quarter, half of the second quarter, and then about half of the third quarter. I think that's going to be the plan for the foreseeable future. Maybe they scale the minutes up a little bit, but I think they're just trying to get his sea legs by the end of the season, see how he looks with the other players on the team. And I don't expect them to work him up to, you know, a full allotment of, you know, 32 to 35 minutes a night by the end of the year.
It's been kind of a fun month here with him on the sidelines wearing all these legendary jerseys, OV and, you know, Redskins, Commanders and former Wizards players. But to see him on the court finally was awesome. What did the other players have to say about Trae Young's debut?
Well, I think they all said it was just fun to play with him. I mean, he's been engaged with the team over the last 2 months, you know, giving them pointers on the sideline. He actually got ejected from a game he didn't even play in because he was picking up for his teammates with the refs. We've heard that he's given locker room speeches at halftime. So he already felt like part of the team. But once he got on the court, I think what really impressed his teammates was two things. One, how he pushed the pace. You know, he's got a really good knack for kick ahead passes where he throws it, you know, the full length of the court. Sometimes there was one play where he got double teamed right on the inbound and he threw it from one corner of the court all the way to the other. And it seemed like it caught the guy he threw it to, Leaky Black, by surprise. He sort of hesitated before he attempted the three and it went in. And then also just the passing, even in the half court, but it's more not just the passing, it's the accuracy and the creativity of his passing. You kind of don't know when it's going to be a behind the back pass or, you know, it's going to be a pass that you don't really see where he is and he sees you across, you know, the court over to the weak side. And he just seems to have a good knack of finding guys exactly in the pocket where they want to catch the ball before shooting. So I think that's probably reflective of him sitting on the bench for 2 months and having conversations with his new teammates and understanding where they like the ball.
Chase Hughes with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Chase DC Sports on Twitter, Wizards and the NBA Draft for Monumental Sports. So, Chase, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Do you know the Wizards' lottery odds right now? It's 16-46. If the season ended today, like, what would the chances be that we end up with first or second or third?
Last I checked, which I believe was yesterday, they were, what, had the fifth worst record. So they couldn't fall, in that case, lower than ninth. As for the exact percentages, do you have it in front of you?
I don't. So, but you're saying, so what position would we need to finish to guarantee that we keep our pick?
So if they finish bottom four, then they can't fall any lower than the eighth pick, and that is the threshold where their pick is protected. Top eight protected. It's owned by the New York Knicks. So basically, if the Wizards get a top eight pick in this year's draft, they keep it. If they're ninth or later, then it goes to the Knicks. So if you're bottom four in terms of records in the league, you can't fall lower than eighth. If you're the fifth worst record, which they've kind of been bouncing in and out of, then you can technically fall to nine, although it's a very small percentage. Same thing if you finish with the sixth worst record. It goes up to like 3-something%. It's still a percentage, so you might not want to play those odds. But basically, if you want to guarantee keeping the pick, they got to finish bottom four.
Yeah, and one thing goes in their favor. Brooklyn and Indiana play against each other once. So one of those teams will have to win at least one more game this season. But it's crazy. I mean, you look at the bottom, you got a 3-game losing streak, a 7-game losing streak, an 8-game losing streak, a 10-game losing streak. Everybody knows how important it is to get one of those top picks. Have you started to look at what position Washington may target if they were to get a top three pick in the NBA draft based off of the roster that they've constructed?
Well, I think they'll go best player available regardless of position, but there is sort of a system of tiers that's developing in this draft where I think if you're picking top four, you might get a forward unless you take Darren Peterson. And then after that, it's going to be a run of a lot of guards.
Yeah.
Darius Acuff of Arkansas, Kingston Flemings of Houston, Keaton Wagler, who I mentioned, of Illinois, he's in that conversation, Mikel Brown of Louisville. There's a lot of guys who are kind of combo guards. There's a lot of overlap, particularly between Brown, Flemings, and Wagler. So you're really going to be splitting hairs. If you're picking, like, say, fifth in this draft or sixth, you're probably going to be sitting down and saying, like, okay, we got four guards. Which one do we like the most? Which one fits us the best? But if they're in that top four, odds are pretty good they're going to be picking a forward, whether it be A.J. DeBonta of BYU, Cam Boozer of Duke, Caleb Wilson. I was going to say Caleb Love, who also played at UNC. Caleb Wilson of UNC, who just went down for the season with an injury. Darren Peterson's a guard, but you know, if you're picking in that top four, it looks like basically a 3-4 chance you're going to get a forward.
Yeah, I want Boozer or DeBonta, and really, I have not been in love with a college player like DeBonta since Zion Williamson. And I know he's a bad example because it didn't work out in the NBA right now, but like, must-watch basketball, feels like, every time DeBonta's on the court. And I've been getting into arguments with people about him and where he's at right now and where his ceiling will be because, you know, everybody's saying, oh, he's not the best shooter. But it's like, well, every time I watch him play, he's shooting like 70%, and he's not the best three-point shooter, but I think he will be in the future. Like, everything about his jump shot looks smooth. I just love the way he maneuvers around the court. He's like an artist out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a terrific scorer. He scores a lot of points, and he does so efficiently. He just does most of his work in the two-point range. But he's shown, I think, significant progress with his three-point shooting this season. And, you know, where he's really deadly is not only around the rim, but also in the mid-range. He does a really good job of getting into the middle of the paint and just jumping over everyone and knocking down mid-range jumpers. So I don't see any reason why he couldn't, you know, add that third layer to his game as a scorer. He's shown progress. He's shown signs. And then, you know, he'll need to get better defensively. But I think one of his biggest strengths is just the versatility. I think he checks off the most boxes among those guys projected to go in the top four because he's arguably the best athlete of the top three. You know, Darren Peterson's a great athlete, but I think DeBonta's just as athletic. He's just 4 or 5 inches taller. You know, he's more explosive than a Cam Boozer. None of the three are, like, you know, projected to be a defensive player of the year, but I think DeBonta is, you know, a pretty disruptive defender, at least on the ball. And so we'll see. It's going to be splitting hairs with those guys, too. I mean, I think there's probably less separating the top three picks than not only that there usually is, but perhaps in quite a few years. So we might go into the lottery. It might be a rare year where even on lottery night, we don't know who the number one pick's going to be.
Chase, can you give us the latest on Anthony Davis?
Yeah, so Anthony Davis has remained out with a hand injury. It's his non-shooting hand, so it's his left hand. And the Wizards just had a doctor's appointment for him where he got reevaluated, and they said that he's making good progress. He was cleared for individual on-court work at practice, non-contact work. And then from there, they're going to reevaluate him again in 2 weeks, which would be about 12 days from now, and they'll see where he's at there. But it seems like he's on track to potentially debut this season. You know, they don't have a whole lot of games left, but, you know, perhaps they could bring him back for a few games, maybe on a minutes restriction like we've seen with Trae Young.
Have you had a chance to interview him?
I haven't, no. My colleague Wes Hall has interviewed him. He has been in and out of town. He's been doing a lot of his rehabbing in Dallas. Of course, he was playing for the Mavericks, and they, you know, he had sort of a system built with doctors and trainers down there. So they've had him spending a lot of his time down there, but he just recently joined them on the bench, and, you know, we'll see if he ends up making this road trip with them.
Yeah, seems like he's been working on a TV show also. It's like a punk show. Have you checked it out at all? It's not very good.
No, I haven't. Like punk, like Ashton Kutcher?
Yeah, it's basically like that, but Anthony Davis is the new Ashton Kutcher. Chase Hughes with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's close out with this one here. As of today, which of these young guys do you think has the ability to become an all-star first in Washington?
I would say Keyshawn George. I think it's probably between him and Alex Saar. Both guys are probably at the same level, but Keyshawn George, I think what we saw early this season in particular, before opposing defenses and scouting reports adjusted to take away what he does best, obviously he's going to have to respond to that in the long term, but he's just done a really good job on both ends of the floor, and I think his ceiling offensively is pretty high. And again, we saw that early in the season when he had, you know, a 30-point game, you know, a 25-point game, put up some numbers we hadn't seen from a young player in a really long time. So I think it's Keyshawn George, but, I mean, I could make the same argument for Alex Saar. I think Trey Johnson's not too far behind, but those would be the main names for sure.
But Bilal started this rebuild. What's it going to take for him to get to that next level? Is it just, like, consistent playing time and staying healthy?
Yeah, I think it's those two things. I also think that Bilal's best skills are on the defensive end, and usually if you're going to make an all-star team, you got to score a lot of points. You know, you usually got to score around or above 20 points per game. So I think he's closer to becoming an all-star level defender than he is an all-star level scorer, and that's why I would hone in on Saar and Keyshawn, because they've got more on the offensive end at this point.
Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports, man. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Have a good weekend.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. So we're just talking about the Washington Wizards with Chase Hughes as we saw the debut for Trae Young, Ice Trae, against the Utah Jazz. But really, the story of that game was Angel Reese's brother, Julian Reese, Juju Reese, with a near 20-20 in that performance there. 18 points, 20 rebounds. I'm not sure how much of a part of the future he is, but it is just wild how in the NBA you can get picked up off the street playing G League ball and come in and score 20-20. That's wild. Wizards will get back on the court tomorrow at New Orleans. And unfortunately, New Orleans is awful. And that's a game Washington may win. New Orleans is 20-45, and they have lost three of their last four games. And then there's a good stretch where Washington should lose like five straight games here and get back to the tankathon. Miami, Orlando, Boston, Golden State. Golden State's still trying to make the play-in tournament. Detroit and Detroit back-to-back games there. So that should be a six-game losing streak for the Washington Wizards. As we were talking with Chase Hughes there, it is just so crucial to finish off this rebuild. There needs to be one more draft pick, and I really think it needs to be a top three, because I think the next step for the Washington Wizards franchise is to get that superstar, right? I know we believe that Alex Saar can become him, and that Keyshawn George, who we drafted well, can become him, but we're talking about Peterson, Devonta, and Boozer as franchise-changing pieces. You need one of those guys. There's just no... Boozer is, I think, the best player in college basketball today in terms of what he brings to his team. Duke is the number one team in college basketball right now. Boozer is basically their best player on offense, their best player on defense. Shire runs the offense through him. It's really smart the way Boozer can kind of back people down and then pass. And he is so good at passing. It's such an underrated part of his game. I mean, he's almost like a Jokic light. It's It's unbelievable. Boozer is a stud. And of course he is, right? Because his dad, Carlos, was a great, not a good, a great college basketball player and a longtime veteran in the NBA. And his son's got like everything that he brought, but also a little bit more explosion, a little bit more shot from the outside, right? He's just this new era of college basketball player. So Boozer, I think, is the best player right now in college hoops. He's the MVP of college basketball in my mind. The guy who has the biggest ceiling seems to be Darren Peterson, right? I mean, he just makes it look easy. His best highlights make him look like Kobe Bryant. He pulls up with ease from anywhere on the court. He can create his own shot off the dribble. The red flag is that he's taking himself out of games. Like, he's hitting a three and then saying, hey, my bad, I don't need to be out here. I'm going to the league, dude. I don't really care about the Jayhawks. I'm not really interested in winning Big 12 basketball games, right? And so that is a huge red flag for me. Just like it was a huge red flag for Ace Bailey last year. But look what Bailey just hit against Washington, 32 points for the Utah Jazz. You know, there's going to be red flags for a lot of people. The biggest red flag is for Darren Peterson for sure, with what's going on this year at Kansas, but I think he has the biggest ceiling. And then the guy that I think could have the most impactful impact right away is A.J. DeBonsta. And that's why I want him so badly. I think he could be rookie of the year in the NBA. Drafted 1, 2, 3, or 4 if he ends up in Washington. He just carves through defenses. He's really good at getting to his spot. And he's got 100 spots on the court, right? Low block, high elbow. He can do it from the post. He can do it from the outside. He can drive to the basket. He is so impressive. And I think he's going to be NBA ready right away. Like, I think you put him in the NBA today, I think he would score 16 points. Like, I think A.J. DeBonsta is going to be ready for the league right away. And so those are the three guys. Like, Washington needs one of those guys to take our team to the next level. I like the rebuild that they're doing. I love that they say, hey, we're done with the deconstruction phase. We traded, you know, a bag of chips for Trae Young. Somehow we got Anthony Davis for a cup of coffee. It's crazy what they've done. I really feel like Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have turned a penny into a dollar with this roster. Like, it was so bad when they got here, and the fact that we had Bradley Beal making 50-plus million a year and a no-trade clause, and they maneuvered that roster for this roster here while also drafting and developing, right? Like, Keyshawn George was not the highest pick, not even close, right? But they developed him, and he has really turned into a solid player here in Washington. So you look at the future, or I guess next season in the starting lineup for Washington, and it's Trae Young and Trey Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, Anthony Davis and Alex Saar, and then off the bench it's Bub Carrington, and it's maybe a Bub Carrington and Will Riley plus a A.J. DeBonsta plus Champagne can really shoot it from the outside. He's a good role player on this team here. Jameer Watkins has been a good role player on this team. There's just a lot of talent in this building, and they have this really good environment where everybody's just going out there and trying to get better, and we're seeing them develop. And I love Brian Keefe as a head coach. I know there's some people that don't get it. I love him as a head coach. He was an assistant for 15 years, known for developing talent, right? And maybe he's not the head coach that leads us to a championship, but he is the right head coach for this objective, which is the rebuild and to get this team back to, you know, a respectful part of the Eastern Conference and getting into the postseason. He is the coach to develop this team, and it's been fun. I'm excited for the future of the Washington Wizards. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, 980. You got Virginia Tech against UVA from John Paul Jones Arena. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, taking you up to Puck Drop for the Washington Capitals on the Team 980. You're now hearing UVA against Virginia Tech to close out the ACC regular season. For those two teams, the rematch of the Commonwealth Clash that was such a thriller earlier this year, a triple overtime win for the Hokies. It's AWOD Radio on The Fan. I like to make this show the most interactive radio show possible. You can tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. That's AWADDRADIO. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Mark tweets me, AWAD, I said it when they signed Biotis that if Dallas let him go, there was a reason. That reason, in my opinion, is because he gets dump trucked in running downs. They're going to be more under center this coming season. I do think that that is the optimistic approach here on Biotis. It does not look good that you cut him, and then immediately the Chargers give him a three-year, $30 million deal. That's a contract for a guy they expect to be their starting center for the next 3 years, as they made the playoffs and have a plan to get back to the playoffs and feel like they have their quarterback in Herbert, so nothing's stopping them, right? Especially now that they have their starting center. But for Washington, we're revamping the offense, right? And we're rebuilding the defense. Just kind of revamping, retooling the offense, though. Biotis gone. All right, they're going to bring in a center that will be able to run more under center with Jaden Daniels. I do think that Biotis, like, I liked him, but there were just so many replays and highlights of plays where he just got either ran over or didn't block anyone. And I think, like, you're crazy to argue that Washington can't upgrade at center. They absolutely can. Like, Lindenbaum, even though I don't want them to go out and overpay for him to be our center, like, we can't upgrade that position. Adam Peters has a plan. I didn't think they could upgrade left tackle last year. I thought, man, Brandon Coleman, we drafted him. He started almost the entire season. He gets the conference championship. No, Peters had a plan to upgrade left tackle with Laremy Tunsil. Now the plan this offseason is to make sure he pays him, but I believe they have a plan at the center position. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got James in D.C. What's up, James?
I will be back home, man. I have folk been calling me, wishing me happy birthday. My wife got me some
James.
Flowers, a couple of cards, man. Yeah,
all right,
man.
I don't think James is on the radio with us right now. That was unbelievable. All right, let's see if Mitch in Jersey wants to chime in. What's up, Mitch? You're on the fan with A1. Mitch. All right, neither of these callers are ready to get going here on AWOD Radio. So we're talking about what Washington will end up doing this offseason here, as this is such a long offseason, it feels like already. So one thing that I wanted to point out here in terms of Washington on the offensive side of the ball, and I feel like the fan base needs to hear this. When Jaden Daniels is healthy and plays 17 games, this team's a playoff team, all right? This is a playoff team when Jaden Daniels plays 17 games. I'm talking about signing this guy on defense, signing that guy on defense. I want Devin Lloyd. We could sign nobody on defense, and if Jaden Daniels plays 17 games, I still think they're a playoff team. Like, I need everybody listening to hear that, all right? The word's coming out of my mouth. If Jaden Daniels plays 17 games next year, this is a playoff team. This is a playoff team. Why? Because Jaden Daniels makes every single player around him better. Every single player around him better. He makes the running back better because he can run and the defense doesn't know what to do. He makes the wide receivers better because he can just drop it in a bucket on target in rhythm. He makes the tight ends better because he really does know how to read the defense in zone and just know when to get rid of it on time. He makes his offensive line better because he can scramble around. I had so many great conversations during the 12-win season with Tyler Biotis, with Brandon Coleman, even with Sam Cosmi about how, yeah, I mean, he's scrambling around for 10, 11 seconds. You just know you got to block someone to give him a chance. We had the Hail Mary with Jaden Daniels his rookie year. He makes everybody around him better offensively, and that includes the defensive side of the ball. When Jaden Daniels plays 17 games, we've seen this team averages 30 points a game. It's very hard to lose in the National Football League when your defense, when your offense scores 30 points. This past year, I went through the games. We would have been 9-8 if we scored just 29 points per game. That's more in line with what this team should be. We shouldn't have been 5-12. Why? Because if Jaden Daniels is healthy for 17 games, this is a playoff team. If Jaden Daniels is out there running around and throwing touchdown passes, the defense gets more rest, right? Because we control time of possession with Jaden Daniels, and we put up more points. It's as simple as that. If Jaden Daniels is healthy for 17 games, this is a playoff team. Well, then the next step is, all right, how do we win a playoff game? Well, we definitely need to sign defensive players to win a playoff game for sure, but it comes down to Jaden Daniels and his health. He knows that. We all know that. David Blau is very aware of that. That's why he got the job, because they didn't think Cliff was doing a good enough job keeping Jaden healthy. Dan knows that. Dan knows his ass is grass if Jaden gets hurt. That's why he was so upset earlier this year and blamed himself with the dislocated elbow. And Adam Peters knows that as well. They all know this. The important player is Jaden Daniels. He's the franchise. He's everything. If he is healthy and plays 17 games, this is a playoff team. This is a playoff team. So the goal for this offseason should be make sure Jaden is healthy, and then let's see what you can do in terms of rebuilding the defense here to match what Durante Jones envisions and team that up with what Dan Quinn would like to do. All right, let's go to James in D.C. James, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Today is my birthday, man. 70 years old today. But what I wanted to call about, I've been trying to put it on the matter of record. A lot of people, you know, thinking, you know, that going offense is not the thing to do. And I understand we need defense like a hog needs a slop, so to speak. But I was thinking that Love would be good for one reason and one reason only, and that is that, because I'm still a little bit unsure about Jaden and this injury thing. He got to literally reprove himself. But to have a back like that in the backfield with him, if that will help him to develop and to stay healthy and be all that we hoped he would be worth it for that and that alone.
Yeah.
Forget about the defense. If that keeps Jaden being the Jaden that we thought he was, then do that. And we can deal with the defense later.
100%, I'm with you. Jaden needs a star at running back. I've asked for ETN. I kind of wanted Breece Hall. If they draft Love, you know, I'm kind of against it. I think defense first. But you're right. Like, for Jaden to be at his best, he needs a star running back next to him.
For sure.
Yeah. So we'll
for
see what
sure.
happens.
No doubt about it.
But I just think we'll see the way. Look, if the draft was first, I would say go draft Love, and then we'll fill out free agency after that, right? But it's the opposite. So we have to make sure we hit on everything defensively. If we get a couple pass rushers, then maybe this team could afford to take Love at number 7. But with the roster right now, you can't do that.
Right, right. Well, in order to do that, you absolutely got to address the edge and what are the other defensive positions you can address in the draft. In the free agency. If you don't do that, then it makes no sense whatsoever. But if you can get, thank you, sir. If you can get, you know, what you need in free agency, then I think they would be able to do it, and it wouldn't be, you know, a stupid idea.
Are you worried about Jaden Daniels getting injured?
Hello?
Are you worried about Jaden Daniels getting injured this season, James?
Not really, but I'm not sure, though. Whereas last year that wasn't even a thought. You know, even though, you know, coming out of college and saying, you know, he was small and he could potentially be hurt, but he did so well, you know, the first year, you know, other than the rib injury, I thought he would be fine. But after last year, I got to be honest, I am concerned. I won't say that I think he will be hurt, but to say that I'm not concerned, I wouldn't be telling the truth.
Yeah. No, good call, man. And happy birthday, James. Appreciate you chiming in.
Thank you. You guys have a great day as well.
Yep. I think he's right that we all, in the back of our mind, are a little bit worried because of what happened last season. I don't feel that way about injuries. I think injuries are fluke. I think injuries a lot of times are also like you're overusing a player. We were overusing Jaden. He felt like he needed to be Superman. I saw the Debo injury coming because we were just overusing him earlier in the season because there was no McLaurin, right? So, you know, I think a lot of times injuries are preventable. And for Jaden, it's, hey, he needs to feel like he doesn't need to be Superman. That's why they do need to upgrade running back. They do need to upgrade the offensive line. They need more skill position players on the outside for him. And he needs to watch. I think a lot of this is going to be mental. Jaden Daniels is going to need to watch a game in which his defense, like, gets stops and gets off the field, right? If the defense week one this year can come out and hold the team to 10 points or less, then all of a sudden, Jaden, I think, mentally will start to realize, all right, you know, maybe we've got a squad on that side of the ball, you know? And the most important thing is my availability. And I've got to go out there and protect myself. And, hey, Maybe it's third down and there's a guy right in my face. I just throw it away and I trust the defense will get me another opportunity. The entire rookie season, he never trusted the defense. Sophomore year, he never trusted the defense. Every single time he got the ball, he went out there to score the game-winning touchdown because he knew there was a chance the defense was going to give up six the other way with the quickness. It's AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free. Anywhere you get your apps at, it's AUDACY. That's AUDACY. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You could take the radio show with you on the go. You can also check me out in Richmond. Just search 910 AM. That's where you'll hear the show Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. talking all things Commanders and more. I told you this is the longest offseason of my lifetime, and the official start of the new league year hasn't even hit yet. That'll be March 11th. Dan Graziano of ESPN has predicted the Commanders land running back Kenneth Walker. I don't want him. Too much money. I think he's a stud. I was hyping him up all postseason. I picked the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. That's your MVP. Let him go out and get a bag of money somewhere else. That's going to be some other team's mistake in my mind. I know we have money to spend, and I want to spend on a running back. I don't want to spend the most on the running back. Wide receiver Rashid Shaheed. ESPN's Dan Graziano predicted the Commanders land him. I think he's too much of a one-trick pony. And again, this is a guy that showed up in the postseason and will get paid extra because of that. It's the De'Ami Brown syndrome. In fact, I'd probably rather have De'Ami Brown back than overpaying for Rashid Shaheed. And then Dan Graziano of ESPN predicted Commanders land edge rusher Jalen Phillips. I think we're looking at a second tier. That's like the top tier of a guy. And here's what I'm starting to realize. Free agency begins March 11th, right? Washington cut Tyler Biadasz. It was a cap casualty cut, right? And the Chargers scoop him up, 3 years, $30 million. It feels like right now, the best players this year are going to become available via cut rather than the guys that are already free agents. And so it might be a situation in which, hey, the best thing for Washington to do is to wait and then snatch up somebody that gets cut by another team late. You know, I was reading last night that the Saints are looking at maybe cutting Alvin Kamara, and then I saw that they reworked his contract, but it gives them the opportunity to cut him post-June 1 and not lose that much money. Like, what? I would love him, right? What's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, Darnell Mooney? Like, I think there's going to be guys that end up being cut or released right at the start of free agency that might end up being better than the guys that are available already here in free agency. I just read an article, major Bears release, burst door open for Commanders to strike, and that is Trey Edmonds. Like, yeah, sign me up for that if he gets released. And so I think the actual move for Washington right now will be, hey, let the top-tier free agents sign somewhere else. Let Kenneth Walker go somewhere else, Phillips, Trey Hendrickson, let them go get their big bag of money to a team that can afford it and can afford to wait a few years. Washington is trying to strike right now. Let's go get that second tier, and let's get 100 of these second tier guys, right? Instead of three guys for $30 million, and that's our $90 million, let's get, you know, six guys for $15 million, right? I want that second tier kind of guys. I looked at Quay Walker. I told you guys earlier, I like Devin Lloyd as well. I think these are guys that are, they're not in the top 10 of a lot of people's free agent list, but they're in the top 20. I think that is where Washington certainly could strike. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Call AWOD. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Drew in D.C. What's up, Drew?
What's up, AWOD? How you been, baby?
I'm good, man. Happy Saturday.
Hey, happy Saturday to you. Yeah, man, I think, you know, with the team, man, I'm a big fan of Love, but also I'm a big fan of Washington, that linebacker out of Arkansas, man. He got great numbers, too. I think that'll be a good steal. And if they don't be able to pick up the guy, you know, the defensive end for Texas Tech, I'm a big fan of the linebacker out of Texas Tech, which is Rodriguez. He's a cover linebacker, man. He got great stats. So as far as the running backs, man, I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't waste my money on Walker. You got some good running backs coming out in the draft, man. So I think they should head in that direction. And for Jaden Daniels, I think he'll take less punishment being under center, man, because he'll keep the defense on his toes instead of always backing the shotgun.
Yeah.
Keep up the great work, man. Talk to you soon.
Yep, I appreciate that call. And good point there about Jaden Daniels. And we've talked about how the offense will look with David Blough, but I do expect less no huddle for sure and more Jaden Daniels under center. And, you know, everybody talks about how Blough worked with Ben Johnson, and I'm not a Ben Johnson fan, but I do love how his teams would hard play action and just have people naked, wide open in the middle of the field. And I think that's the next part of Jaden's development, is being able to take those 15 to 20-yard passes in the middle of the field, hit them on time, accurate, right when you drop back, and keep the chains moving there. I think he's great on the deep balls. I think he's underrated on some of his out throws because he does have really good arm strength. But I think he can be much better on the middle of the field. And so we'll see. Like, I just have a vision of Jared Goff under center, play action to David Montgomery, hard play action, and he looks up and Amon-Ra St. Brown is bursting through that middle of the field. And hopefully for Washington, that's Jaden, a hard play action of Bill, and Terry McLaurin bursting through the middle of the field this upcoming season. So it's going to be a long offseason. I'm telling you guys, it's going to feel like forever before we actually get to games, because we've got free agency, and it feels like this Brandon Ayuk saga is going to go on and on. John Kimes' latest is, it feels like Washington's going to offer him something, it feels like. I mean, it just has been teased at us for basically a year and a half now that Ayuk wants to be with Jaden Daniels. That's annoying, just how long it's been going on for. Longest offseason ever. The free agency hasn't even begun yet. And then, of course, we're going to be talking for the next few months here about that number 7 overall pick, what Washington should do in the draft. And then training camp will come, and it'll be all about, oh, the changes in the coordinators. I just want to get to the damn regular season. I need to see JD5 fly again. I need to see him fly around the field in the National Football League. You're listening to AWOD here on The Fan on a Saturday, March 7th. It is March. Yes, it is finally here. And if you've been listening to the show earlier today on the Team 980, well, now they are airing Virginia Tech against Virginia in a Commonwealth Clash, the final regular season game of the season for those two teams in the ACC. We've got some great games going on in college basketball, including the big one tonight from Durham, North Carolina. Duke against UNC, part two. Always a fun matchup there. Now, Caleb Wilson broke his thumb. He's out for the season, and North Carolina doesn't have enough talent without him to win this game. But I think Seth Trimble could lead them to at least the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament. He is such a stud right there as well. If you guys have been listening to the show and you're enjoying it, I wanted to bring you in on a bit we're doing with the Sports Junkies. I had the Lurch Papa, Jason Bishop, on the show, and you can follow along as we are betting money on the conference championships in college basketball. Metal Chris, you know Lurch. Dude is obsessed with taking the number one overall team in the standings. I mean, he loves chalk more than a blackboard. It is wild. So, in the SEC, Lurch has the Florida Gators. Your boy AWOD took Arkansas. In the ACC, Lurch took UVA. I took the Blue Devils. In the Big 12, Lurch took Arizona. I took Houston. In the Big 10, I took Michigan State. He took Michigan. Of course he did. In the Big East, Lurch took UConn. I took St. John's. Mountain West, Lurch took New Mexico. I took Utah State. In the A-10, I took VCU. And Lurch took the number one seed, St. Louis. As I'm hoping the Lurch Papa from the Sports Junkies will be paying my mortgage this month with all of our bets here for all things college basketball. I'll give you guys my Magic 8. It's a bit Sports Illustrated has been doing. I've enjoyed it. I've come up with my list of my own 8 teams, the Magic 8, 8 teams that have what it takes to win the NCAA tournament this season. And then I'll give you guys the latest on Chance to Dance as well. Which team from the Commonwealth can make it into this year's NCAA tournament? Unfortunately, we're in the middle of the worst season of Maryland basketball in 50 years, the worst season of Georgetown in probably 5 years. Cooley's going to be gone. For Maryland, I expected this. I didn't expect them to be this bad. And Kevin Willard is getting the last laugh, and it drives me crazy. I hate it so much that his Villanova team has the money that he wanted, the roster that he wanted, and they're going to be in the NCAA tournament, and Maryland can't even get one, like, freaking win. They can't even win all season long inside of conference play. It's been so bad for Buzz. But look, this happens to Buzz. Year one's always a struggle. Year two, he gets going. Year three, they're awesome. Year four, they're great. Year five, he's out the door. It's just the way it works with Buzz Williams at his last stops. Of course, Marquette, then Virginia Tech, and then at his alma mater, Texas A&M. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. I'll give you the Magic 8 and then the latest with conference tournaments and college hoops to close out the show here on a Saturday, March 7th on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7. The Fan. Last night in college basketball, Miami of Ohio, the Red Hawks, I almost said Redskins, the Red Hawks capped off an undefeated regular season with a wild overtime victory in their rivalry game against Ohio, a 110-108 thriller as that finishes off a 31-0 season for Miami of Ohio out of the MAC. And it pisses me off so much that there are people that are coming on national television and college basketball analysts and saying that this is a team that doesn't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. Well, they haven't lost any game. They haven't lost any game. So why are we even playing the games if a team that's undefeated doesn't belong in your tournament? We are inching in closer and closer to having two NCAA tournaments, the P4, and you can call it the damn crown or whatever they want to call it, and then another tournament that is for everybody else in college basketball, right? That's what we're dealing with right now. It's unbelievable. 31-0 Miami of Ohio Redhawks, and as people are considering them on the bubble if they can't win the MAC tournament championship. Today, college basketball championships are being played around the country, including one in our backyard here in Washington, D.C., and that is the CAA championship. Now, the CAA will probably end up being won this year by one of the two top programs, that is UNC Wilmington and Charleston. But William & Mary has been playing a lot better as of late. They got themselves into the 5 spot, and they will tip off tonight at 8:30 against Elon. And the reason I mention this is because William & Mary is one of 3 college basketball schools to be eligible every single year since the NCAA tournament started in 1939 and has never been. One of 3 schools since the tournament started in 1939 that have been eligible but has not been. They got Elon in Washington, D.C. tonight, and that would be played at the Care First Arena, the home of the Go-Go. So, look, they're going to need to win, what, 3 games in 3 days here or 4 games in 4 days? But I would like to see them into the tournament for the first time as we get to AWOD's Magic 8, 8 teams that I think can win this year's NCAA tournament. I don't wait till March to predict the madness. I started by going to ACC tip-off in October, where we sat down with Coach Ryan Odom. We sat down with the best players from Syracuse, Virginia Tech, UNC, and the Duke Blue Devils. And then Duke is at the top of my Magic 8, 8 teams that can win this year's NCAA tournament. As we try to help you with your bracket here early in March, John Shire's the National Coach of the Year in my mind. He's a Dukie. He's a Blue Devil, so everybody probably hates him, right? I'm just so freaking impressed because Coach K was a legend, and in my lifetime, Coach K was the best college basketball coach, right? So I'm 33 years old now. From what I've seen in college hoops, and I'm a huge fan of it, Coach K was the greatest. The championships, the roster development, all right. Now you want to change things? I give me a one-and-done guy. Coach K changed with the times and was able to still have success with guys like Jahlil Okafor and others that ended up being just one-and-dones at Duke. He was one of the best. And now Shire's come in, and it's like the program has taken a step forward with him, with the new age a new era of college basketball. I cannot believe how he stepped in and had this much success so quick. The changing in the roster from last year, like Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple, are balling in the NBA. And Duke's maybe better this year somehow. It's wild. Like, how can they be this good again? And the way that they defend, you just don't see that around the country. You just don't. There's just something about the way Duke plays defense. They are in your face. They push you all the way back to half court. It's unbelievable. They've got a great coach. And Carlos Boozer was all muscle, and somehow his son looks even stronger. He's a tree trunk down low. Duke is at the top of my Magic 8. Coming in at number 2, it is Tommy Lloyd's Arizona Wildcats. Arizona's been a really good team for a while, and they've had their runs, and they've spent money to go out and get Love from UNC a few years ago. They spent a lot of money to go out and get him. But what Lloyd's done here in just 5 seasons is really incredible, and he should get even more credit for what he's done. But this year, his team is better than any team he's had since he took over that program. They're 28-2. And the 2 losses are to teams inside of the top 20. I mean, this is, if not the best, the second best college basketball team in the country this year. And if it's going to be like last year, it's probably going to be chalk heavy. That's why I've got Arizona at number 2. Number 3, it's Michigan. It's Michigan, man. This is a Michigan team this year that has what it takes to go far. They are also 28-2. And you look, and they dropped a thriller to Wisconsin by 3, and they dropped that game to Duke that was here at Capital One Arena just a week ago. But this team, led by Lendenberg down low, and then Morez Johnson is really talented. They just have got a squad. I mean, they've got 4 guys averaging in double figures and a 5th at 9.5 points per game. You never know who can beat you with Michigan. I put Michigan State on this list because I think Tom Izzo is March. He is the NCAA tournament. He finds a way to get, it feels like, to the Final Four every other year. And I think, like, this is a Michigan State team that isn't getting credit because Michigan is so good. But they're 25-5, 15-4, second place in the Big Ten, just behind, of course, that Michigan Wolverines team that is number 1. So those are my 4 right there on the Magic 8. Coming in at 5 is Coach Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks. Yeah, Arkansas is good all of a sudden here. It took Coach Cal a minute, but the roster construction this year for the Razorbacks is why I think they have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. They are going to end up being a top 4 seed, and everybody that's paying attention knows about Darius Acuff Jr. But it's guys like Billy Richmond and DJ Wagner, and Nick Pringle, and other guys for this team that are veterans of the NCAA tournament. And this is a team in Arkansas that I believe, last time I looked, they were the number 1 team in college basketball this year for dunks. How do you win a lot of games? You get dunks. You get easy buckets. Now, they will have to hit more 3-point shots for sure to win this year's NCAA tournament. But you saw Coach Cal with a big upset last year. I've got them in my Magic 8 because I could certainly see them into the Final 8. Don't look now, but UConn is damn good once again. It's, you know, it did not pass on me that Coach Hurley's team was the closest to beating the Florida Gators national champions last year. They were the closest to beating them. They had their shot. And they just, I love the way they run his offense. It is so smart. It is so next level. It's a lot of backdoor cuts and, all right, you stop this one. Now we're just going to run a different iteration of it in the second half. He is such a great offensive mind, and the guys play so hard for him. So I got UConn on here. Of course, in my lifetime, when Florida wins the national championship, they go back-to-back. So I put Florida on the Magic 8 as number 7, and the final team I put in here is Houston. Houston, the last team in AWOD's Magic 8. But you've got college basketball games going on all day today, all day tomorrow, and then for a full week leading up to Selection Sunday. I just have so much fun every year with Selection Sunday. And then We'll be filling out the brackets, and we'll be talking about it with you right here on 106.7 The Fan. Did want to close out the show with this last thing here on the Washington Commanders, because we did get some tweets that we didn't get to get to on the show today, and a few people that called in, we didn't have a chance to get their thoughts here on the show. But in terms of Washington and free agency, I wanted to make sure that I said this again. And I went on a rant about this a little bit earlier about Jaden Daniels, right? The reason they were healthy, I mean, the reason they were 12-5 was that the team was healthy and Jaden Daniels was a star. So this year, Adam Peters needs to know that they need to have a plan for not being healthy, and that is to be too deep at every single position. Too deep at every single position. All right, you feel good about your linebackers? Go get another one. All right, you feel good about Amos and Sandristo? Go get two more. All right, maybe you like Will Harris and you're going to run it back with Quan Martin? Go get me two more, and that doesn't include Jeremy Reeves. We need too deep at every position so that we can handle guys getting injured. But that's the biggest difference between the 12-5 and the 5-12 was the injuries. It was all injuries. Eckler, Dietrich Wise, and others lost in week two of last season. I said longest offseason of my life, that it started on November 2nd. Maybe it really started September 11th when we lost to Green Bay, because that was the body bag game. And the team really never got fully back up to speed after that. We had the one good outing in L.A. and then dropped the ball against the Bears and dropped the season after that. Longest offseason of my life, but we'll be with you right here on The Fan throughout all of it. The start of NFL free agency officially on March 11th. Ravens acquire Max Crosby in a blockbuster trade, but I told you, I think the Raiders got the better end of that deal. It is going to help them with their rebuild with the quickness. Thanks to Metal Chris running the ones and twos today. It was awesome to get Grant Polson and Danny Ruye on the show live from Florida, West Palm. Check out all the work they're doing from National Spring Training, going to thefandc.com. Thanks to Chase Hughes of Monumental Sports. I'm excited for what could happen in the lottery for the Washington Wizards. And thanks to Metal Chris and everybody that called in today here on The Fan. Washington Capitals are coming up next. Talk to you guys next week.